But real quickly, I just want to share with you the importance of young people in ministry. Did the young people do a great job in the worship team tonight? Awesome. Thank you, worship team. That's what we do every Wednesday night over there at the school. We encourage people, get your young people here, grade 6 through 12, every Wednesday night over there. We just have time where we just sit, get in the Spirit, let God move and have His wonderful way. But I want to talk to you about the importance of youth and young people. And if you have any young people in your life, your family or whoever, believe in them and trust that God is at work in them. Pastor Bob said this morning, the young people are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today, the church of right now. And I'm telling you, God wants to use young people in a powerful way in these last days. We believe that. We want to equip and empower young people to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that. I think it's interesting you think about the fact that Jesus could have picked anybody he wanted to minister with him and to go around with him. He could have had kings as his disciples, but he chose teens as his disciples. Most of the disciples that people believe were in their teen years, teenagers, when Jesus found them and said, "Follow me." He could have had kings, but he chose teens. You look in the Bible, how many young people were used by God in ways that saved entire nations. Look at David, the shepherd boy. The Bible says that he was but a youth in 1 Samuel 17:42. The Bible says that Goliath despised and disdained him because he was but a youth. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise young people or disdain people because of their youth. King David ended up killing Goliath. You know the story. We see Josiah was king of a nation at such a young age. I'm telling you, young people, you're capable of a lot more than you realize. And maybe more than what even mom and dad believe that you're capable of. Think about it. David, his dad wasn't too sure about him. He didn't think surely David would not be the one to be used by God to deliver Israel and be anointed by Samuel. So much, in fact, he brought all of his boys but left David out in the field. Surely not him. He couldn't be the one you want. Why? Because he's a youth. He's a boy. But God says, no, he's the one. And God honored and respected David as a young man. And the Bible even calls David a man after God's own heart. So as he was out there worshiping the Lord saw him. We see people like Daniel in the Bible, a young man taken captive and still stood true to what he believed. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, young men. We see a story in 2 Kings 5:1 about Naaman and Elijah. Naaman, a leper, he had a disease called leprosy that couldn't be cured. There was no hope for him. He was destined to die. And yet the Bible says a little one, a maid of Israel, said, "Oh, if you could just get to the man of God in Israel, what God would do for you." And he said, "Wait, what?" His wife said, "What?" She said, "Oh, if Naaman could just get to the man of God in Israel." And she said, "We need to find out about this." You know the story. He went, found him, dipped 7 times, and was healed of leprosy. All because of a one young lady who had a word in due season and a word of deliverance or a word of salvation. God can talk to you through your children. God can talk to you through the young people of this church. Amen? We see people like Isaac on the altar, a young man who was willing to allow his dad to put him on the altar. You talk about trust. Young people are trusting. They trust more than adults because they haven't been jaded or they haven't been disappointed in life. So they still trust people. And so a lot of times young people will trust God. Or if you tell them, "Hey, you can do this," they trust that what you're doing is right. Don't lose that trust with young people or abuse that trust. It's so important we keep that. Here Isaac was on the altar. His dad with a knife saying, "Hey, you're going to be the sacrifice." He says, "Okay." I think that's amazing that he just got up there and trusted. Trust God with your life. I remember one time fishing with my dad, and I took my pole. As I'm going back, I swung this lure to flinging out, and this lure hit me right in the back of the head. I had a ski mask on because it was freezing cold. And here this hook went through the ski mask, through my ear, back out to the ski mask. It was so cold I couldn't feel a thing. My ears were numb. And so I'm pulling on this thing, hoping Dad wouldn't look because he was catching fish. It was sand bass season. The sand bass were schooling. Every cast he was catching them. And I wanted to get out there so bad. I'm sitting here with this thing stuck and I'm trying to pull it off and I couldn't get it off. And finally my dad looks over and wonders why I'm not fishing. He goes, "Oh, Daniel, what did you do, son?" I'm like, "Oh, I need help." About 10 years old, he comes over, he's looking at it, and he's trying to take off my ski mask, and it won't come off, and he realized, wait a second, I still have a little notch in my ear. He said, "This thing is through your ear." I said, "You're kidding." He goes, "Man, I don't know what to do. I can't even see." He said, "I can't get it out." And he had those, you know, those big old orange razor knives that you just click, and they go like that, and you got this big old razor blade. He whips that thing, and he goes, "I guess I'm just going to have to cut it off." At 10 years old, I braced myself and started crying. Talk about trust. At that point, I was just trusting Dad. And he said, "Does it hurt as he's cutting?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, why are you crying?" I said, "Won't I look funny with one ear?" And he laughed so hard, I thought he was going to fall out of the boat. He said, "I'm not cutting your ear off. I'm cutting the mask off. I didn't mean cut your ear off. I got to cut the mask off." So I was like, "Oh, thank you, God. I'm going to keep my ear." Kids are trusting. They'd let you cut their ear off. Okay, that's the only way. Young people are trusting. We see how Samuel, God spoke to Samuel in the night and gave him a word for the high priest of Israel. Think about that. He gave a little boy a word for the high priest. God speaks through young people. We can expect that. Young people expect to hear from God. He didn't recognize God's voice at first. He kept coming to Eli and he said, "Wait a second, I think the Lord's speaking to you." So expect to hear from God. We see Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, a young lady, and yet she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. That's awesome. What an awesome blessing. Ruth, a lot of times people believe that Ruth was in her teenage years or early 20s. And she was in the lineage of Jesus and used in an awesome way as a young lady. I'm telling you, young ladies, save yourself. Hold on to purity. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers." Be an example of what believers are supposed to be like. That's the way we want to be as young people, as a youth ministry, to be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And that's what we encourage young people. Your conversation, the way you talk, speak the word, polite words, wise words that help somebody in need. I try to tell my son many times, "Son, speak words that help people, words that will bless people." We want to do that. In our love, teens can be the most loving people in the world if they want to. I just want to encourage young people, love people. Be an example of the believer in your love, in your spirit. Your head up, smile, look people in the eye. Your energy. Be humble and respectful. That's the Spirit of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, not fear. Be an example in faith. Godly young people. This morning I think it was, my daughter comes in. She's 5 years old. She comes into the living room. And she had these clip-on earrings, which she doesn't have her ears pierced yet. I'm not going to take her fishing either. But she had these clip earrings. And she walks in and Samuel says, "Ooh, Sarah, you look prettier." And she says, "Do I look prettier than Mama?" And Samuel goes, You're almost like this much close to being prettier than mama. And she goes, well, what will it take for me to be prettier than mama? She wanted to know, what do I need to do? What do I need to be prettier than mama? And do I need bracelets? Do I need jewelry? And she's asking Samuel this. I said, Sarah, come here. Let me tell you a secret. I said, let me tell you a secret on how to be, you may not be prettier than mama, but you'll be as pretty as mama. Let me tell you the secret. What is it? I said, be a godly woman. Be a godly young lady. That's the real secret to being as pretty as mama. And I'm telling you, young ladies, that's the secret. It's not, I don't care how much jewelry, how much makeup, how much, all those things are great. But I'm telling you, a godly young woman is beautiful. And I have known a lot of people that were maybe pretty on the outside, but on the inside, whoo, the Bible says they were like whitewashed walls or dead men's graves, where they look real nice and it's a beautiful garden on the outside, but inside is rotting corpse and death in there. So guys, don't fall for that woman who's not beautiful on the inside, that may be on the outside. Purity, be an example in purity and integrity. Keep your word, obedient. It's like nothing but good flows in and nothing but good flows out. You're like a pipe that you just receive the anointing and then you give it out. I believe some young people are going to just flow and give out what God has done in you this week. It's no wonder people love young people. And we've got some young people that went to camp and God did a work in their life. We may have some pictures here to show. Robbie, we'll have the band back up. But first of all, Ashley, come up here real quick. Come up here. I just want Ashley to come up for a moment and just talk briefly, just for a moment, out of your heart to the young ladies and to parents of young people. Why is youth ministry so important? And I didn't tell her I was going to do this, so it's totally out of your heart. I might get beat later, but I don't think so. All right,
well, 1 Peter 3, just what he's talking about, says not to let your adorning be on the outside with the plaiting of hair and putting on of fine clothes and the wearing of gold, but to let that beauty be on the inside, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in the sight of God is precious. And as young ladies, you know, this world tells you you need to be this way or look that way. And it's okay to, you know, dress it up before you take it to church. That's fine. But that's not what matters. What counts is to become more like Jesus on the inside, to let that beauty be the imperishable beauty, because that beauty on the inside, you know, the body gets older, it gets more wrinkly, things happen, gravity sets in. But the fact of the matter is that beauty on the inside, it's imperishable. Nothing can touch that. Nothing can decay that. And so as you are beautiful on the inside with that gentle and quiet spirit that it talks about, that in God's sight is precious, precious, precious. And to parents, I would say, you know, there's so much that you can tell your young person. You can beat it into their head. You can tell them, you can read the word of God to them. But whenever you come alongside and they see other young people serving the Lord, whenever you come alongside the local church and they see somebody else that's somebody they can relate to that's maybe not mom or dad, sometimes they can receive things from other folks that they just won't receive from mom or dad because you are mom and dad. And there's awesome things that you impart into your children, but there are other people that they can look up to and receive from that they may not be able to receive the same way from you. And I would just encourage you to find every way that you can reinforce their walk with God. And just to pour that into them and give them those opportunities to be in the presence of God. Because when they encounter the presence of God, and you'll hear that a lot of these young people, as they went to camp, they encountered God. And it was an anchor to their soul that whenever someone comes to them to try to say, hey, that's not real, they'll say, you've come to me too late because I have encountered it. I've experienced it for myself, and you cannot take that away from me. And a lot of them had that experience at camp, so it's going to be awesome to hear those.
Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome. Good word, babe. Good word. You want her speaking into your young ladies' lives. Amen. And another person you want speaking the right, Robbie, come on up. You want people that will encourage your young people. Again, young people look up to Robbie. Young people, Robbie's cool. He used to be cool. You don't have kids yet, so you're still cool. And I would just encourage you, again, there's something about, I remember when I was a kid, there was this guy, his name was Jimmy. He helped in the youth ministry where I went to church at the time. And Jimmy one time took us guys out, me and a couple of my friends out, and we went and just got some tacos. I'll never forget it. We ate some tacos. He took us to his house. It was dove season. He shot a dove, gutted it right there, put it on a stilt, built a little fire there, and cooked it over the fire. And I thought Jimmy was the coolest guy in the world. And we ate that. I mean, we shot it, ate it right there on the spot. And I thought, this is amazing. This guy's the coolest guy I've ever seen. But you know what? He encouraged me in the things of the Lord. And as young people, they need people like Robbie Foster to speak into their life, to encourage them, people that they look up to. Again, maybe not mom and dad. They need Ashley. They need Lauren, which I'm sure Lauren's probably taking care of business right now, helping get, we have pizza and stuff. I'll let you talk about that and the young people. But I just want to encourage you, whatever God puts on your heart, however you want to flow, and then we'll have the band ready as you need us. Hallelujah. Let's give Robbie Foster a big hand.
All right. Well, like he was saying, there is pizza and drinks and some cookies and snacks and all that. So don't run off too quick. When service is over, you're all invited, not just the youth. There's just so many good things were just said right there. And, we're focusing on young people, and there's so much to it. I know we have a slideshow. We have some pictures. We can go ahead and, if you just want to start running through some of those while I'm talking, that's fine. We had a service the other night, and it was awesome. Lauren just brought up the idea. She said, I just think it'd be so awesome to highlight and talk about camp and some of the things like that that are going on, because, you guys only get to see a small dose. Like, we'll throw a few pictures up, or we'll just be like, hey, guys, we're going here, we're going there, which the ski trip, that's the next big one. We're going to be pushing that. We're going to be going nuts on that. But, there are things that happen at camp and things that happen over in the youth services that are, like I talked about this morning, they're life-changing. And, as Dan was about to start his message on Wednesday, I went up and I was... It's always dangerous when you hand me a microphone. I talk for a long time, but it was the Holy Spirit. He just came in and he was just like, we're changing gears. This is what we're gonna do. And so I was began to plead with him, and I was talking to him. We can maybe run these through one time, because there's a lot of really good pictures. You can see the one-on-one ministry that was going on with some of the kids. Obviously, like I said, we did win volleyball. We shoved a lot of food into our gullets. It was delicious. This is always one of my favorite deals. Dan always encourages the kids, now go home and tell your parents, tell people about what God did in your life. Because every trip we take, God shows up, and he has a lasting impact. There's our MVP. We're going to get our trophy right there. And there's some of the group. What an awesome group of kids. Man, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. When we're walking around camp and I see some of the kids, I'm just thinking, man, I'm blessed. You see how some of those kids will act and you're like, man, we're blessed. And that just speaks of the fruit that you guys are producing. So again, we're so thankful that you're allowing us to have a part in impacting your kids. So like I said, we started the service off, and I'm just going to highlight one person. It's not about one person. There's a lot of people that have been getting in touch, but you know, I have witnessed myself just a total transformation in one of our youth, and it's one of those things that's revival and change. There's a reason it's called revival fire. You know, fire, it burns, and it when fire consumes something, there's nothing left. You know, and it overtakes things that it comes in contact with. And so all it takes is one person that's just getting touched, that's just on fire, and you can have a bunch of dry bone people, and guess what's going to happen to that dry stuff? It's just going to get burned up. It's going to get burned up, and it's contagious. And, you know, we've heard Pastor talk about revival starts with me. Revival starts with me. And I've seen within our youth group, you know, there are certain kids that they're not looking around waiting. Like, well, are we going to do? They're saying, no, no, no. I'm going to do this. There's an expectation. And so like I said, I'm going to highlight one here, and I'm going to try to hit a couple deals, and we want to have a few people come speak. But, you know, as we were moving into service, He just brought back to my remembrance seeing the young people get touched. And if you're ever in any facet of ministry full-time where you're sowing into people, there's no greater benefit. I know the Whites can tell you this. Anyone who's ever served in any form of ministry, when you see the fruit, when you see those kids getting touched, when you see lives changed, because, you know, it's great. And that's what I told them. I was like, it's great if you think I'm cool or if you think I'm old or, you know, if you come and have the best time in youth every week, but you don't get a touch from God, what does it matter? What does it matter? And so, you know, I had been noticing, you know, this is someone that had just gone from black to white. I mean, just a white to black, whatever. Just, I mean, just a total 180 change. Couldn't have been any different. And I highlighted Gloria. I'm going to have her come up and give a testimony here in a minute. But, you know, there was a time a few months ago where she was, you know, and this isn't ragging on her, that we've all go through these times. But, you know, she was there. She was there every week and just kind of hung out and chilled. And then something happened. Something happened, and she gained an expectation. She came in with an expectancy. She came in with a pursuit. And I tried to tell these kids, I said, you know, I've seen Gloria get touched. And it's not because God says, I sure like Gloria a lot more than these other people. It's not by coincidence. It's not just a fluke that she got touched. It's an expectation. It's a coming in and saying, I'm going to get what God has for me tonight. I don't care if it's my favorite songs that are being sung. I don't care if it's a message I've heard before. I don't care what it is. I'm going to get something. And I've watched over the last few months as God has just totally transformed and totally just wrecked her. And it's awesome. And you can see it spreading to the other kids. And I'm not saying it's not just, but that's just one that I've noticed. There are other kids that are doing it. But I mean, I've seen kids that have come, gone through the motions of 6 years, 8 years, however long we have them. And, you know, they're great kids and that's fine, but they just come through and there's not really a change. And this is something I wrote down. Me personally, I don't want any of my youth kids. I don't want Sasquatch Christians. And the way I say that is, you know, there's shows about Sasquatch and there are legends and people about Sasquatch. And that can be influential enough to make some people think, well, they've heard, or I heard that they saw, and it's always secondhand. It's never them. Some people jump on that bandwagon and they're like, yeah, I think he's real. You think he's real? Well, that's great, but is he real? This isn't about Sasquatch. What I'm saying is that's just an example of something where You think about, that's a topic of discussion. And it's like, is he real? You know, but that's the whole deal, is we have kids that have only had a Sasquatch experience of, well, my parents have always told me that they've experienced God. Or some of my friends, they saw. What about you? And that's the whole deal, is it real to you? I did a message last week, and this is some lingo. You may have heard it. I don't know. I've seen it used ridiculous, and I've seen it used in an actual way. But someone would be like, ordered a number 6 taco special at Taco Bell. They didn't put in the soft taco. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. That's a saying that people have sometimes. And, you know, like I said, sometimes it's meant to be funny. And other times they're like, man, this is going bad. The struggle is real. And the name of my message was, the struggle is real, but so is my God. The struggle is real. And for every young person, the struggle is real. The stuff that they're being subjected to, the things in the world, and I'm telling you, that struggle is the world. It is pulling day and night, 24/7, on your kids, on your grandkids, on your nieces, your nephews, whatever, your young people. It's pulling on them. And it's shoving, this is what's real, this is what's real, this is what you need. And the one thing, if you bring someone that you see is serving God, who's been brought up in church, whatever, I'll tell you the one thing that's the same in all of them. They've all had a real encounter with God. Because kids nowadays, they know fake. Have you ever seen an ad of one of those video games and you're looking at it and you're like, is that real or fake? Those kids can tell you immediately, that's fake. That's a video game. Because they know it. This is a generation that's been brought up in everything's made to, you know, they know phony when they see it. They can smell it a mile away. And they're looking for something that's real. They are searching for something that's real. And, you know, for myself, I was raised in church. And as a young person, I saw and I experienced what was real. And I didn't always stay on track. I didn't serve God like I should have. I hit a period where I left. But you know what? I knew that the world was fake. I knew it was fake because I had had the real thing. I had the real experience. So I want to encourage you, if you have young people that were here, maybe they're gone. If they've experienced what's real, and that's the whole goal of this, is helping them to experience what's real. If they do that, storms may come, seasons may come, things may get rough. It may look dark like he talked about. But the real experience, no one can ever take that from you. No one can ever take that from them. So our goal, Dan and Ashley and Lauren and myself, our goal is to get your young people in the presence of God, experiencing who he is. And like I said, camp is just an awesome opportunity to do that. The ski trip and then youth every week. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Get your kids in that atmosphere. Give them the opportunity to experience who God is. Because once they do, everything else, it'll fade away. The interest, the longing, the this is what you need, this is what you want, it'll fade. They're not going to be perfect children. They're not going to be little robots. I mean, I'm sure you guys still have moments where you're like, man, that looks, you know, it's kind of tempting to go do this or go, you know, that's not that. But the point is, once that seed has been planted, that God is real, nothing will ever shake that. It can't be my mom and dad's God. It can't be, well, that's the church I go to. That's what they talk about. It's got to be real. So, Gloria, let me have you come on up. And like I said, this is someone. Yeah, give it up for Gloria. This is just one. We'll see how much time we have for other testimonies. But, you know, this is, you know, I can talk about it all I want. But I want you guys to listen. Just share, whether it's from camp or youth, whatever, just what God has been doing in your life the last few months. This is what it's all about. This right here is what all the pizza nights and all the other stuff that we get to get kids to come out. It's for this right here.
So hi, my name is Gloria.
We were at the youth lock-in, and Robbie just came up to me, like, just totally pushed my friend aside and just like, hey, somebody paid for you to go to camp. You're going to camp. I'm like, okay. I won't argue with that. So when he told me that, I was like, okay, yeah, it's camp. It's going to be fun, you know. There's going to be some Jesus, but that volleyball, though, that whole food, smileys and stuff. So then on the way to camp, we're like, yeah, camp, woo. And so when we got there, like, just the whole atmosphere, you could just feel love. Like, when we left camp, I didn't want to leave camp because you just feel the love, and it's just, it touches my heart. Okay. So then the last night of camp was like where everybody got touched. Like, even if it doesn't look like they got touched, they got touched. So I, like, God just, like, I was up there worshiping, and, like, I was just like, just take all of my pain, take everything, just wash me clean. I just wanted to be clean. And I was just crying out to God. And then he just, like, reached in and was like, hey, it's okay. I'm just going to clean up a little bit of stuff and you'll be all good. And then somebody came over and started praying over me and was just telling me to let everything go, to just let all of my pain, let everything that's happened to me, just let it all go. And when I let it all go, God just like a waterfall, like out of my eyes and like to my heart, like a waterfall of just love and like just joy. Like I was like crying so much. And then what was it? Oh, when I was walking back to the dorms, like, I just could not stop smiling. Like, I would try it, like, nah, man, I'm cool. But no, I could not stop smiling, like, and just thanking God, like, wow, you made me. You made all of us uniquely, and we don't have to try to be anybody else because you made us, us. You made me, me. And you made me for a unique purpose. And that just, that touched me. So.
Let's give it up. Have you ever been touched by God like that before?
I've been touched by God, but, like, that just, like, cleaned everything. Like, before I got touched by God, and, like, I was like, okay, I got touched, I'm clean. But I was still, like, holding on to, like, I'm like, no, I don't want to let, like, this little thing go. But, like, that night, I just let all of it go. And I didn't want it anymore. I just was done. It was like,
I think this is something that you see a lot is, you know, God's willing to take from you whatever you're willing to give to him. And, you know, if you think about your hands being dirty, if they're balled up, you know, he can clean off the outsides. He can scrub as much as he can. But if you keep that hand closed, that's not the heart of God. He's not going to force. But what, you know, the thing about the worship, the atmosphere of worship that's down there is it's such a free spirit of worship. I mean, there's nobody looking around to see what so-and-so do. I mean, it's just a reckless abandon. And once you open your heart and just say, God, just take whatever, man, that's exactly what he does. And it's so awesome. And like I was, you were talking about earlier, we want to thank everyone again who helped sponsor young people, whether it was the ski trip or on this, because this is something, it's not to say that God can't reach her somewhere else, but what an awesome experience she was able to have because of seed sown. Because of someone saying, I care about young people. I care about getting them in the presence of God. I want to see their life changed. And I'm thankful, and I guarantee you that Gloria, her family, they're extremely thankful too. Because it, you know, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. Is there anything else you wanted to share?
Uh,
just like the praise and worship was like when you're there and you're praise and worshiping, you just lift your hands and like you don't care who's watching, who's looking at you or anything. And like when I just raised my hands and just let God touch me, like it just felt like I was the only one in the room, just like the band was there. And just, it was just like me and God. Like, it was just amazing.
Yeah, awesome. Let's give it up for Gloria. You know, that's something when only God can do that to a young person who is praising and worshiping God like nobody's watching. When we got to Dairy Queen, she was dancing like nobody was watching. I think Dan got it on film, though. But, you know, in this generation, everything is Facebook this, Instagram that, Twitter. I mean, everything is seen. And we're being seen all the time. And it's all about projecting this image and being cool and being this and being that. And I mean, that is not the heart of God. That's not how he's wanting us to live. The only thing we should be worried about looking like is Jesus. You know what I mean? And that's something that's a rare deal. And to get it at a young age, what a blessing. What a blessing. Because that's something that can hinder in a lot of ways. Where's my next one? Jalen. Now, Jalen has been coming for a while. Jalen is someone else. There has been quite a turnaround in this one as well. There's no details here, but Jalen's dad called me. He's right over there. He's awesome. He's faithful to get her there. Parents, thank you so much for being faithful to get your kids to youth. He called me. I don't know how many months ago was that. Yeah, several months back, he called me and he just, you know, and we've all hit these points. He was just saying, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with Jalen. I don't know where she's at. And you know, it wasn't like she's just, it wasn't even like that. It's just like, I want her to experience God. I just want you to be praying with me. And so I was like, yeah, man, let's do it. We're just going to call that back in. And these guys can attest. I'm talking the power of God hit her in a way that, woo, I mean, she is, if there wasn't a pole, she would have gone. No, she was grabbing onto a post, just clinging for dear life, just bawling, just the Spirit of God just coming and wrecking her. And, I don't know what, it doesn't matter what she was dealing with or what was going on. The point was, anyone who wants that, anyone who says, God, touch me, he'll do it. He's no respecter of persons. There's nothing that's been done for these young people that won't be done for the other young people. That won't be done for the not so young people. Amen? So what an awesome, if you just want to share, whether it was at camp, I mean, it's been an ongoing deal for a little bit. But, I've seen God working in you week after week in service. Just share a little bit about what God has done for you.
Okay, so for the past few weeks or past few months, like, I've been thinking about myself, like, my identity. And, like, how I was feeling, like, I wasn't worth anything. Like, I wasn't worth, like, goodness. Like, I wasn't, yeah, like, I didn't feel too good about myself. And so, like, the past few weeks before camp, I've just been praying, like, I want to be changed. I want to feel good about myself. I want to be proud about myself. And not only do I want to be changed, but I want to project that on other people. And I want to show people that, you know, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the one person that you should be looking up to in your life. And so that's what I wanted, and I really felt that for the past few weeks. And then all of a sudden, like, I think it was a week or so or 2 weeks before camp, someone was like, Dan said that I had an anonymous person pay for me to go to camp. And I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, I'll go. I mean, I'd never been there before, but, you know, I'll check it out, see how fun it is. And so I went there. And it was fun, you know. You've seen what was happening on the slides and stuff. But I went to camp, and then on the last night, it was a service. And there I was like, you know what? This is the time where I want to completely change. This is the night when I want to go, and I want to feel great about myself and feel everything. And so I just opened my heart. I was just like, change me, please. You know, I love you, and I want you to use me in any way that you can. And it just helped me feel good about myself and show how much I'm worth. And so there, I just felt like I got overwhelmed with it. I just got overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, and just like my entire body, like it was numb. I was tingling everywhere, and I couldn't feel myself for a minute. And I, you know, after that service, I felt completely different. Like even days afterward, like all I thought was positivity in myself, positivity in everything. And he's changed me a lot, and he's still changing me. And it's just, it's so much. I thank him for what he did. And just know that he can change you so much. How you are, no matter how you are, what your personality is or anything. I mean, if you want to be changed, he can. He can do it for however long, whatever. So, yeah.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Do we have time for one more, maybe? Okay. You know, that right there, you know, if you had a sickness or, you know, like Charlie, I know Charlie had some back ordeals in the past. If he wanted that to be fixed, he had to go and search out a good doctor, and then he had to set an appointment, and there's all this planning and all this stuff that goes into it. How awesome is it that the moment she just decided, tonight is my night. She didn't have to say, all right, God, 3 weeks from now, I'll try to prepare my heart. You know, maybe then you'll be ready. I'll be ready. When you decide that it's time, when you decide that this is my night, you don't have to wait. You don't have to schedule an appointment to meet with Almighty God. How awesome is that? You know, they say the best dark doctors are the ones you can never see. You know, he's nope, he's unavailable. He's so busy. Man, God is available. I want Brittany Stolleby to come real quick. I know we prayed for her this morning. Just want her to share a little bit about what youth has meant to her. She didn't even get to go on the trip this year. She was out of town. But you know, this is someone that has been faithful, that served in children's ministry. She's gone to our academy. This is the product of someone that came in, was able to experience God, and is leaving for the next step. She's not leaving us for good, but she's going on, and she's steady in her faith. She knows who she is in Jesus, which is a huge deal that we push in youth. Knowing her identity, knowing what she's been called to do, and she's had that real experience that no one can ever take from her. No one can shake. No one can cause her to doubt. But I just wanted her to share real quick just what youth, whether it was one of the trips you went on in the past or just some of the youth, some of the ministry that's gone on, what impact it's had on you as you're getting ready to go to your next step.
So actually, I went to camp last summer. So I was a junior going to be a senior. And I went to camp, and all summer people were asking me, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Who do you want to be? You know, when you grow up, what do you want to do with your life? I was like, I don't know. You know, I had no idea. I was going to kind of figure it out as I went. So I started praying about it, like, Lord, just tell me, what do you want me to do? You know, and I didn't ever hear an answer. So I, you know, the more people kept asking me, the more stressed out I got. So I was like, God, I need you to tell me. Like, I was telling him, I need you to tell me, instead of being patient and waiting. So we go to camp that summer, and they had people up there, and I went and got prayed for, and I just heard God say, just trust me, just trust me. And I was like, okay, because I was so caught up in what I thought I needed to do right then in the moment, instead of just letting God take care of it. And so I let that go, let him take care of it. So senior year comes, and this is my past year, so I just graduated from high school. And he just did so many different, like, things, little here and there. Like, they would, does anybody want to pray, or anybody want to say something, you know, at school in chapel or whatever? So I would just get a little bit of boldness, step up and say this, step up and do that. And I've never really been one that, yeah, I want to go up there and I'll do that. I've never been kind of like that. So he's given me boldness here and there to step out and do things, step out of my comfort zone a little bit, to not only be a leader in my athletics, but to be a leader in my spiritual life, not just to myself, but to verbally stand out and say something, because people can see you, you know, walking in the halls, well, I think she is, but if I don't say anything or I don't do anything to back it up, you know, it's not, they don't know. So just throughout senior years, little stuff like that. And then where I'm at now, yeah, I'm getting to go play volleyball at the school that I wanted to go to. And at first I wasn't going to. I was going to a completely different university. Complete miracle, because the school that I'm playing for actually had a person quit on them. And so the coach was like, hey, I need somebody. And he called a contact, and she said, well, I know this girl, Brittany Stolleby. And so God just worked it all out for me. I just had to be patient and wait for him and just trust him. It's all in his timing. You know, I looked at it as like, why now? It's kind of late, you know, because I was already enrolled in another school. But his timing is so perfect. And if it would have been earlier that this girl quit on him, he would have found somebody else, and it wouldn't have been me. I wouldn't have been able to be living my dream. So, yeah.
Well, praise God. You know, that's such an awesome example of, well, it's too late. It's never too late for God. He can move in and move stuff around. He can open those doors, those things that you've been asking God, when? When is that going to happen? Is that going to happen for me? This has always been my dream. This is what I've wanted. But what was so awesome about Brittany is, you know, she had talked to me for a long time, because she's going to the school I went to, where my grandfather went, where Pastor went. And you know, that was her dream. That's what she wanted. And she went and did a tryout, and the guy was like, well, I don't know, maybe you need another year. This, you know, it looked like that. It looked like there was no hope. It looked like it wasn't going to work out. And what I believe that God saw was Brittany didn't stop doing anything that God had called her to do. She didn't hang her head and say, well, you know, God's not helping me do what I want to do. She didn't stop serving God. She didn't stop serving in KFC. She didn't stop coming to youth every week. She didn't stop working on her volleyball, all that stuff. But it's so awesome that I believe that God, he rewards that. If we only serve God when things look like they're going to work out, I got bad news for you. But I'm telling you, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Thank you. You see, you have one more thing.
I forgot something. He mentioned that I tried out. I did try out for the school that I'm currently going to now. And he at first told me that I wasn't ready. But after looking back, I was looking back at what my attitude was when I went and tried out. I was like, I got this. I don't, you know, I can get in. I'm good enough. But I was being so selfish with that. I wasn't giving God any of the glory at that time. And I was like, so I think God was trying to teach me a lesson and saying, just, it's not all about you, you know, kind of chill out kind of thing. So I'm going to send you over here. Go over here. And I think in that, where I was going to go to the other university, I think that was kind of like an Abraham thing. Will you give this up for me? This is something that you really want to do. Will you give this up to go do this that I asked you to do over here? And look at it as a positive thing. Look at it as how can I be a light in this place? Will you give that up for me, or are you going to be selfish and, you know, keep it? And when I gave that up, my dream, everything that I wanted to do, I gave that up to go serve him over here. He was like, hold on, wait, let me provide you this lamb and this bush here, and here's your opportunity. So
awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just go ahead and have everybody stand up. I'm gonna have Dan lead us through, or our group right here lead us through. And man, I just want to encourage everyone. You know, I hope that these testimonies have encouraged you. Whether that's just, oh, now I see some of what's going on in the youth, I see some of the fruit, or maybe something that was said spoke to you. But I want to sing through this one time. And as we're singing, if you say, you know, tonight's my night, I need encouragement, because I'm waiting on my miracle. I'm waiting on my door to open. I'm waiting for God to come through for me. If you say, I just need God to clean me, or I need God to touch me, I need that real touch, or I just want a fresh touch. Because sometimes we need a fresh touch. Am I right? A beautiful car, after a while, it's going to get dirty. We got to wash it again. Sometimes we need a fresh touch. And we just need to say, God, wash me, cleanse me, set me free, set me on fire. I want to be used by you. If that's you,
I want you to make your way forward, and I'm going to have the people that gave testimonies, and I want my brother Nick. I know God's been doing a big work in his life. I want some of the young people to come up here with me, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're just going to impart. We're just going to believe that God's going to meet every need. He's going to speak to you. He's going to touch you. He's going to change you, because he's no respecter of persons. All you have to do is say what Jalen said on that night. Tonight's my night. Tonight is my night. Doesn't mean nothing that things aren't right with God if you come up here. It's just saying I want to get more with God. I want a fresh touch from God.